Morning, everyone. My name is Matt Barham, and I'm one of the occasional preachers at St. George's and St. Giles. This morning, the title of our talk is Praise Our Creator and Sustainer. And we've just heard the wonderful words of Psalm 65, which point to the beauty of our world and how we can see God in it. But first, I wanted to talk about television. I don't know about you, but we've certainly been watching our fair share of TV in the last few months. You might have been binging on box sets too, or watching nostalgic reruns. Certainly as a family, we've tried to find a programme that's going to cater to the rather large spectrum of needs and wants in our household. Something that we can all sit happily and quietly together of an evening watching. And so far, two programmes have largely been successful. The Durrells and Race Across the World. And both those programmes are entertainment programmes and not nature or sort of geography documentaries, but they do have one thing in common. They both point to the incredible beauty of the world around us. God's creation in the mountains, in the rivers, in the oceans, in the animals, in the diversity of everything we see. And more than that, it's actually nature around the characters in the stories that helps them most. It's nature and not the people that they're with that helps them to find peace, comfort, strength, and joy in life's most difficult circumstances. If you've not seen Race Across the World, then I highly recommend it. Five teams of two are racing across the world, racing from point A to B, usually over a continent, but they're not allowed to fly. So for the cost of their airline ticket, they have to travel finding reduced cost-effective ways of travelling. They might have to work occasionally to find a bit more budget. And whilst the competitors are racing to the finish line and the first prize of £20,000, they do occasionally have to stop. They do occasionally get stuck. And in those moments, they see the beauty of the world around them, the beauty of God's creation. They have to sit and reflect on their lives and what's most important to them. And it's been really moving, actually, to see them literally standing in awe at the world that they see. Now, the programme doesn't go on any particular spiritual journey, but we found ourselves as a family willing them to move from a place of respect and admiration for what they're seeing to a place of thankfulness to the Creator God. Nature has famously been described as the manuscript of God because it tells us so much about him and it can lead us right into his presence if we are open to that way of meeting with our Creator. Now, the author of Psalm 65 is acutely aware of God as the creator of all things, but also as the sustainer, the one who upholds and maintains the whole of creation. The psalmist reminds us of the seasons, the crops, the rain, the harvest. For thousands of years, humanity has been entirely dependent on the earth, the land, the soil, the weather, for all we need to keep us alive and to feed us. And how we need to work with nature to achieve this. Perhaps in our modern context, it's all too easy to forget this. We have our food delivered. We go to the shops to collect it. We can buy produce all year round. But we have no other source of sustenance other than the earth. No matter how many steps there are between the food growing and the food going into our mouths. So it's great that appreciating this and caring for our planet has been so high up on our agenda in recent months and years. We can show respect and gratitude to God by the way we choose to look after this world. But it's not just food and physical sustenance that we receive from the earth. nature also sustains our spirits. In his book, God is Closer Than You Think, John Ortberg describes different pathways to God. And for some people, there's something incredibly life-giving about nature. For these folks, their soul feels a bit stale if they're cooped up inside for too long. And some of us may feel that that has been their recent experience. We haven't been able to get out, and we felt there was something lacking. And we've discovered, therefore, a new love for our gardens and for any green spaces that we can access. Scientific research is now providing evidence for what people have long felt, that being in nature, in green spaces, has a huge beneficial impact on our well-being. And it doesn't have to be the huge mountains and roaring oceans that are in the opening verses of the psalm. You may have heard about the experiment carried out with people recovering from gallbladder surgery. Ulrich and his team in 1984, in a suburban Pennsylvania hospital, looked at the records of those patients recovering from their surgery. And all things being equal, those patients whose hospital windows stared out onto leafy trees recovered on average a day faster, needed far less medication for pain, and had fewer post-surgery complications than those whose patients' windows were staring at a brick wall. And this initial study has been followed by a succession of others, which have agreed with it, but also, amongst other things, suggested that listening to birdsong, having running water nearby, being able to meditate on flower shapes and scents, are all helpful to our minds. They calm us down, they reduce stress, they improve brain function and promote healing. Maybe that's why, in the most famous psalm of them all, Psalm 23, David recognizes this. He leads me in green pastures. By quiet waters, he restores my soul. It seems that by giving glory to God through meditating on his creation, appreciating it, noticing it, we actually benefit too. And God has hardwired us like this. If this all seems a bit wishy-washy, let's look quickly at the life of Jesus and how he relates to the topic. And the first thing we notice is that Jesus chooses to get out into creation to meet his Father. He takes time away from the crowds to pray. And rather than sit in a quiet corner of the temple, he seems to prefer to spend time with God by lakes and on hills. It was in the wilderness he accepted his ministry. He taught crowds on the mountainsides. He prays desperately in the Garden of Gethsemane. I think it's fair to say that if Jesus modelled this, then we could do well to follow his example. And consider also how he taught and the way he taught. Think of the many parables that were based on nature. He spoke about tangible things, things people could see and touch. Seeds, weeds, wheat, fish, trees. He taught about the value of all living creatures. He spoke about the rocks crying out to God. The natural world was very much part of the spiritual life. So I'm going to finish with a challenge for you all this week, and that's to take some time to be out in nature, to pray in nature. And if you can't get outside, then maybe bring nature inside, into your home. And can I highly recommend Sharon Seal's prayer resource about praying in nature on the website? There's a link to it in the description on the YouTube channel. Maybe go and sit in the prayer garden. Try and see what God, the Creator and Sustainer, has in store. Amen.